Those of you who are not visitors, you know that we've been covering the theme of being called to follow Jesus. And this week we're looking at, and we're continuing actually from the last couple of weeks, that we've been called to follow Jesus. And part of that call is actually, as disciples, is to go make disciples. And does fit in quite nicely with our weekend activities of us reaching out to those who yet do not know Christ. And also today about the harvest. Jesus, when he talked about the harvest, he wasn't really talking about food, although he knew that's very important to us. He was talking about those who yet do not know Christ, and it was plentiful. And those of you who are visitors, you can see around the walls, there's all these footprints. And it's just representing the different steps that we take in our lives in following Jesus. And it's not necessarily, you know, in that order. They probably all those, you take that one step, you'll take several steps in a day in regards to our walk with Jesus. But today we're looking at called to be disciples and to make disciples. What does the word disciples mean?
Jonah.
Oh, any on form today? I wasn't expecting someone to shout out, but you know. Well done. And in the Greek is matheas. And it just means exactly what Henry just said. It means a learner. As disciples, we are learner. Even today in the Greek language, because it's slightly different sometimes, if I was to say to Jane, who actually has got good Greek, that I've been to college, and ematha simbara, I would say, today I learnt. Very untrue though, as you'll hear later. So it means a disciple, us as Christian disciples, we are learners. But a disciple also means not just somebody that learns, it's somebody that actually we share together. We actually follow a particular teacher, and our teacher is Jesus. So that's what a disciple means. And each one of us, we are called to actually be disciples, but also make disciples. Oh, this is the biggest challenge. Oh, it's on there. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just tell me, which way am I going to direct this? Is it just straight through? Straight through. Sorry? Okay, I normally go like this. You know, it's part of my praise and worship. I just click this button like this. But here we are. Rowan Williams said, To be a Christian is to believe we are commanded and authorised to say certain things to the world, to say things that will make disciples of all nations. To be a Christian, we are commanded to say things to the world, to make disciples of all nations, not just the Jewish people, but to all. We know that, otherwise I won't be standing here as a Greek. Are we disciples? Are we responding to Jesus' teaching? We do not learn by just listening. We need to respond. Actually, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and I've put belief comes by doing, or doing comes by belief. But faith does come by hearing. When we hear the word of God, when we hear songs, when we hear scripture read out on Premier, or someone's preaching on Premier, or in the Bible, or on the TV, or if we've got tapes or DVDs, it encourages us. If someone says something to you, it encourages us. Faith is built up by actually hearing. But also, this is what Romans says, Paul says in Romans. Oh, this is hard work, isn't it? Let me just get my eyes on at the back. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith is built by the word of God. Yeah, Lord, we just pray that your word will just build us up today. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Interesting, isn't it? That we could become listeners of the word and actually get deceived that is enough. And that is actually just becoming very, very religious. You know, our faith is built and grown. Our discipleship of ourselves and us affecting others comes by us responding to what we're hearing. Bonhoeffer said, and he was a theologian during the Second World War, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, only he who believes is obedient. And only he who's obedient believes. Our belief, if it has anything of substance, it's going to show in how we obey the Lord. The disciples are really like students. Now, I like that analogy because I've been a student for many, many years, although I've graduated now. But that's what it's like. Being a disciple is being a student. And those of you who are at college or you're taking up any form of learning, you know what it's like. You actually have to practice what you've been taught, whether it's something fun, if it's a hobby, you're learning to sew or cook, or whether you're doing some strong, the academic hardcore stuff. If you don't practice what you're learning, and I don't mean physically going practice, if you like training to be a doctor or whatever, but you've got to do your work, haven't you? I mean, when I was studying, when I was learning all the stuff, I never really learned it until I had to go away and do the groundwork to write my essay, and that's when I ever sort of really learned. In actual fact, I was quite naughty, though I did very well in Greek, level one. I got probably my best marks. I never really learnt it the way I should learn it, and I've actually gone back now to college purely because I've got a choice in part of being newly accredited minister to do some training, and I've chosen to do Greek because although I did very well, it was my highest marks probably in all my modules, I actually did well because I knew the Greek and I was able to translate scripture because I can read and I understood what was going on. I wasn't able to do it through the grammar, and really if you're going to move on to level 2 and 3 and you don't know the grammar, you're not going to get very far in working out how to, in translate, particularly Luke, because Luke gets very complicated, not as simple as John. So I've gone back. So we need to apply. We need to apply what we are learning for our own good as disciples, but also it then shines out and affects those around us. Karl Barth said, Jesus does not give recipes that show the way to God as teachers of other religions do. Jesus himself is the way. Jesus himself is the way. Before we hit our scripture, if you picked up a flame sheet, just at the back, it's just 4 verses, because actually I did not put it on my PowerPoint, but equally, if you've got a Bible, it's Matthew 28, and we're going to be reading from verses 16 to 20, just a few verses, and we are looking at the Great Commission, where Jesus, the last few words of Jesus' life that are recorded in Matthew, he tells his disciples to go out and make disciples. But prior to that, the women have just, they've just been to the tomb and they've discovered an angel sitting there. Well, they didn't know it was an angel, but they soon found out it was an angel. And the angels told them that Jesus is risen. And they tell him, go, he tells them, go and tell the disciples that Jesus has risen. And to meet him, actually he doesn't say that, he just says go. They start running to wherever the disciples are. And on the way they bump into Jesus. And when they bump into Jesus, they fall at his feet. And Jesus says to them, go and tell the disciples to meet me at Galilee. And there they will see me. So reading from verse 16, the 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee, where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey. I have come up to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. These last few words of Jesus were the last ones that were recorded in Matthew's gospel, because obviously each gospel has a different account, not contradicting each other, but we have some different stories of Jesus doing things off before he goes to be with his Father before the ascension. Although it's the end of Jesus' ministry in the flesh on earth, it's the beginning. Here we have the beginning, and this is where me and you come in. We are told that the disciples went to the mountain in Galilee, to the hills. Now this is, Steve and I went to Jerusalem a couple of years ago, and this is the mountain where they say that Jesus gave the Beatitudes. And here Jesus gave that famous sermon, one of the first sermons he gave was how we should behave as disciples of Jesus, how our attitude should be. Very interesting when you see this picture before you enter. This is what they're telling us not to do. Made me laugh when I saw the gun. You can't go with a gun on the Mount of where Jesus gave the Beatitudes. Don't get distracted too much by that, but it's just there just to keep your brains going. But here we are. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And then we read on, a very interesting verse. When they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. And that's a bit of a better one. There we have tourists as well as Jewish people worshipping the Lord at the Jerusalem wall. We need to ask the question, is it possible to worship God and doubt him? Is that possible? I know some people say, I never doubt God. That's okay, that's good. This particular structure of words, where they fell down and worshipped him, and there was the doubt put in there as well, we only see that in one other place, in Matthew, grammatically. Now, I don't know that. I've read that in a commentary, but one day I will be able to work that out for you. But I trust my very good commentaries that tell us this. And it is an interesting little bit, really, because, you know, doubt and worship mixed in together. And the other place that you get it is when Peter, when he walked out on the water, and Jesus, he doubted Jesus, and he started to sink. And then when Jesus saves him, when they get back in the boat, they worship him. And, you know, some people say you can't doubt God and worship him. I'd just say, actually, the Bible's full of characters. The Old Testament is full of characters who love God, obeyed God, but equally struggled and had doubts at different times in their lives. Philip Yancey, who's a great writer of how to apply and what we believe in our faith, in Reaching for the Invisible God, he has a quote there from someone, and it says, "It's not as a child that I believe and confess Jesus Christ. It's not as a child, yeah, that I believe and confess Jesus Christ. My Hosanna is born of a furnace of doubt." A furnace of doubt. Hosanna. Does anyone know what Hosanna means? Hosanna? Save us. Praise God. Our salvation is born. Our salvation is developed. Our walk with God is developed through a furnace of doubt. Difficult times. Difficult times. Do not be discouraged. Thank you, Lord. And then we have these last few verses, 18 to 20. I'm giving you a little bit of an exegetical study here, but just a little bit. But you'll get some application as well. All the way through, but at the end as well. We have the Great Commission with a threefold approach in these last few verses, 18 to 19. It is based on Jesus' post-resurrection authority, and it is different. All authority is given to Jesus now. Why all authority? Because now he has conquered death. He has conquered death, and the battle has been won. Before he had authority, now he has all authority. Praise God. And with all that authority, he commissions us, he asks us, he pleads with us, he demands of us that we go out and make disciples. That's the second. And the third is, it's new beginnings. We are the new disciples. We replace Jesus, who was the key person fulfilling mission. But we don't replace him completely on our own, because it's by the power of his Holy Spirit, by all the authority that he has. He has sent the Holy Spirit powerfully, as we read in Acts, to go out and make disciples. And he doesn't leave us on our own. He is with us, and he's with us to the end. Praise God. So what are the marks of a disciple? What are the marks that should be on our lives as we're... Sorry. As we are growing in him. And also that we're looking to see with those that we love and God has called us to care for. What are we looking for? That we're looking to see that they're learning to serve. We're looking to see that they're learning to listen. Learning to be corrected, to submit to those who God has put above you, to submit to each other, because the Bible makes that very clear. And it just means, it just means, you know, being good to each other and just, you know, being willing to listen and accept one another. To be a people of humility, thinking of others better than ourselves. What a challenge that is. Learning to look at our lives before we criticise others. You know, just love it, don't you? Jesus says, don't you? You take that big lump of wood out your own face before you look at the speck in your brother's eye. And it's interesting, often when we notice the specks of what people are struggling with, we've often got this wood the same, bigger in our own lives. And I would actually have put this one first. Learning to be secure in Jesus Christ. Learning to know our identity. We need to really, first and foremost, know who we are in Jesus Christ as disciples. Know who we are. And that gives us security. And from that security, we could develop our own walk and develop others to come and follow Jesus. Security is important. If we function from a place of insecurity, we just breed nothing really that healthy. So how do we make disciples? How do me and you make disciples? This is not a leadership thing. It's for disciples. Jesus said, follow me and go and make disciples. I've got 3 suggestions here. Good. The first one is we give people a personal challenge. Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling that you have received. Paul challenges his readers to make their life count. Make your life count in Jesus. Why? Because we all need a cause. We all need a project. We all need the dream. We all need to respond to the call that God has put in us. That is best for our lives. Many of us do this through our work. Our calling is where the Lord has called us to. Whatever job that you're doing. But equally, we mustn't neglect the house of the Lord. We mustn't neglect wherever the Lord has placed you to worship. It's like being in a family. If there's a couple, you're married. If one of you is working and the other one is at home working but not paid, but you're at home, you would. At one point in my life, I did that when we had 4 children. I was in charge and I did most of the cleaning and cooking and shopping. Equally, Jane and I, we've both been called to be leaders in a church full-time. This is our vocation. But when the kids came home, they had rotas. We've all got rotas here, thanks to Helen. And when Steve came home, he had jobs as well, although he was like the main earner. And that's changed now. We both work. So we share what goes on in the home. So we need to do that within our home here. We'd never survive, as you know. Yesterday, all of you's contributed, you know, in different ways. We'd never have done what we did if it was just me and Jane. You know, we've done it with all you guys. If anything, it's you guys that we're supporting in what the Lord has put upon your heart to be fulfilled. We need to give people complete confidence. We need to build people up. We need to do that from our place of knowing who we are in Christ. We who are strong in the faith ought to help those who are weak in order to build them up in faith. We need to give them complete confidence in what God can do through them. Jesus did this with Peter. Later on, he said to him, Petros, which means pebble. He said, you're going to be a rock. You're going to be a rock. You know, and it's, you know, we need to always be looking and seeing what the Lord is, you know, the potential that we have and also where we are at as well. That's why it's good to pat ourselves on the back. Yesterday, we did a great job. And through our prayers and faith, the Lord brought people in for us. Encourage one another. Build each other up. If you are going to be disciple makers, we have got to be good encouragers. It is a gift, being an encourager. Barnabas was an encourager. But you know, all these gifts, that's great that people are gifted, especially in certain areas, but all of us are called to be encouragers. You may not be a gift, but you can still do it. Thirdly, is to give wise counsel. You'll see no progress without learning. And feedback is a positive way. All of us need feedback. It's a positive way of learning. All of us need people to speak into our lives. Since none of us are perfect, we need people in our lives who will be honest with us. And it's nice to have a bit of a relationship with the person first, in case they're going to say something a bit negative, and it won't go down very well if there isn't much of a relationship there and someone says something that is a bit too critical. But Proverbs says, people learn from one another, just as iron sharpens iron, just as when you're sharpening your knives. You know, I'm sure you guys do that. You know, I do it occasionally when I get fed up and I can't cut the meat. But we sharpen each other, but with a right attitude, a godly attitude, and in when we're correcting each other. Wise counsel is acting just some common sense, but also God's thoughts on it. God's thoughts, the wisdom of the Lord for that particular situation we're in. Call to follow Jesus, just like the Old Testament call narratives. We've got loads of people in the Old Testament who were called by God to serve him, just like them. It always followed with a reassuring promise that God, I love it when I start to stutter, people look up, It's good, good. Get your attention. change the way I'm talking. But it always follows with a promise. If the Lord has called you to do something, there is a promise. And here he has called us to be disciples, make disciples, and he is with us to the end. Praise God. Joshua, he said to him, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said the same to us. That was one of his last words that he said, particularly that was recorded in Matthew, that he will be with us. Praise God. Let me wet my... Some of us today, are we in places where we have seen Jesus and we have worshipped him, we have loved him, we have fallen at his feet? We have encountered his love and his goodness. We know we can look back. We know we've done that. But we may be struggling with doubt regarding our call to follow to the end. I want to talk about the end, because this is an end here in Matthew 28. It's the end, particularly in this gospel recording, the end, the last bits of Jesus. You know, maybe we're doubting, are we going to finish? Are we going to complete what God's called upon our lives? Maybe we're back at that mountain again, like the disciples, waiting for Jesus. They're waiting. You've gone back to that place that's safe, and you're waiting for Jesus. Now, this mountain represents lots of mixed emotions for the 11 disciples. They included sadness, if you read. They had fear. Possibly, there was doubt, and often, you know, with all that sort of stuff, there probably is a little bit of fear. They lost their teacher. Massive change, they're suddenly on their own. But also, we read, they had joy. They had faith. And they believed in Jesus. They hadn't lost it all. And they worshipped him. Mountain places are places where we learn to be disciples of Jesus and to become makers of disciples. They're not just places of barriers that stand in your way. We do have to go through them. There is no road built round the mountains that the Lord has got in your life at this moment. You'd like to know there's a ring road, but there's no ring road. You have to go through it. And as you go through it, it's like a furnace. And it's a furnace that doesn't burn to bring you... you won't even smell of smoke, you know, the work that the Lord is doing in your life. You'll be fine. You'll come out the other end, at the other end. As the Lord says, those who love and trust him, he will fulfill what he has said in our lives. All things work together for good for those who love and trust Jesus as we go through the mountains. Mountains are not places of barriers. They can be places of opportunities. Yes, just look for the opportunity in that place where your fitness is difficult. Jesus calls us today, come and sit at the hillside of the mountains and learn from me. Come and learn from me at this place. Here at the mountain, the Lord equips us for the journey of being disciple makers. As we complete, you know, just let the Lord speak to us. If there is anything in our lives, maybe a relationship, the relationship has changed. Someone's got ill in our families. Someone maybe gone to glory. Our finances have changed. They've come to a particular end. Maybe our health is not what it was. We're having to deal with things with our health now. Maybe we're out of work. Whatever our situation is, whatever this end, this different thing that's happened in your life, it's not the final end. The final end is when Jesus comes back and when he comes and takes you back to glory. And as I'm looking, I can see that he hasn't come back because you're all still sitting out there. So it's not the end. Jesus said, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end. He is the end. The end is when it's the end with him. Jesus' mission on earth came to an end, but this was not the end for him. It was the beginning of us fulfilling and ongoing his mission, which he said we do even greater things than him. So let's be encouraged as we take on this call to be disciple makers in Jesus. Amen.